This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Excited to join us as well. Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. For you to again introduce yourselves, let us know which corner of the world you're in. Alhamdulillah, we have speakers coming in from all corners as well. Our first speaker, Shaykh Yahya Ibrahim, is coming in right before Fajr, mashallah, his time, from Perth, Australia. And I see all the salams. Jazakallah khair, Elsa, Sir Aisa, Belbir, Ahsan, Hidal, Alina, Abdurrahman. MashaAllah, amazing to see. Have Sam from the UK. And again, let us know your locations. I see a lot of salams. Jazakallah khair for that. Aisha coming in from Pakistan. Aisha coming in from Melbourne, Australia, also staying up in the middle of the night, mashallah, to benefit from this experience. We're super excited to kick off, and we have a jam-packed experience for today, but it's going to be quick. We have only a little bit of time for each speaker, so stick around if you can for the full hour and a half or so for this session, inshallah. And of course, please share link your friends and your family in the stream, and share this link on your WhatsApps and your Facebook messengers and all your social medias so that we get as many the benefit as humanly possible, inshallah. We're excited to cover this topic and to have such respected professionals with us, our own instructors like Sheikh Yahya, some of the things there, Sheikh Nadine Aziz, and then mental health professionals like Sara Sultan and Sheikh Omar Hussain. I'm not going to take too much time, inshallah. You guys know the importance of mental health. October is Mental Health Awareness Month for many Black people in Canada and the United States. And subhanAllah, at least one out of six people in North America suffer from mental health illnesses. And I'm sure you guys have similar statistics where you're coming in from in all corners of the world. And Al Maghrib Institute, as an institution, we've been, you know, making sure that we increase the awareness of mental health issues in every capacity that we can. But this is the first opportunity that we have to dedicate a full webinar, and inshallah, of course, to this experience. And with that being said, this webinar is actually sponsored by and made possible by the Inside Out online learning experience with Al Maghrib Institute. If you want to find out more, please do always check out the information that we have in our bio and save that link, inshallah, in another open tab. I see, mashallah, many new messages coming in. People coming in from Somaliland, from Riyadh, from Bosnia, mashallah, where I just was, Canada, mashallah, India, Australia. Wow, a few Australians coming through. It's lovely to see. I know we're live on the pages of our instructors, so it's amazing to see our family connected from all around the world. So without further ado, I want to invite to the stage, inshallah, our respected instructor, Sheikh Yahya Ibrahim, who has experience with the mental health in so many facets of the Muslim community, both by being a principal and in an Islamic school in Perth, Australia, by counseling couples, subhanAllah, over the years, and of course, by teaching so many courses with the Al Maghrib Institute. I'm excited to hear more from Sheikh Yahya, especially because he is covering one of my favorite topics, prophetic prescriptions, practical guides on mental health from the Sunnah. So, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Sheikh Yahya, how are you doing today?
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, I'm very well. Thank you for hosting me once again, Sister Hafza. May Allah bless this wonderful webinar coming up, inshallah.
Ameen, ya Rab, ameen. So, Sheikh, I'm curious, because I know you have so much experience, decades of work with the community, and I'm sure mental health, like with everything that kind of intersects with the deen, comes up quite often in your, in your interactions with the community. So, can you speak to a little bit why you think, how well it interlaces with
Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ba'd. There is no human being who at any point in time has not had a moment where their mental health is affected either within themselves or by those who are external to them. And that's just a reality and fact of life. There will always be the need for us to build resilience within ourselves, within our children, within our families. There are things that happen abroad from us or near us. There are things within us that all put stresses on the balloon of our life that can make it susceptible to pop. And it becomes important for us to always maintain the right pressure, the right well-being mechanisms to release some of the tension and issues that may arise, so that we find ourselves healthy and well and are able to assist others in finding that wellness, balance, and harmony within themselves and society. So those are really important issues for us to kind of consider. And I wanted, inshallah, with the prophetic prescriptions, to kind of make it something that goes beyond the dhikr of Allah or the dua that we are invited to make by the Prophet ﷺ, which he did teach us. And those are things that I know our dear brother Umar Hussein, inshallah, will address. And those are things that I think would be a major part of any of the discussions that relate to mental health. But I wanted to take a quick journey through the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ over the next 5 and 10 minutes, inshallah, to show you how the Prophet ﷺ built resilient, formidable, strong, sabir, patient, courageous individuals who were able to see the test of time. How could somebody like Ali radiallahu anhu and Bilal radiallahu anhu, how can somebody like Ammar ibn Yasir, how could somebody like Umar ibn al-Khattab, how could all these wonderful people who we look at in our seerah as being icons of righteousness not have had the experiences of difficulty to kind of make them these hallmark figures? How could they be representatives of true light for you and I so many years later unless we were able to see in the mirrored image of them and us that there was a struggle that they overcame? So let's look at how the Prophet ﷺ, you know, consolidated and prescribed elements of life that made people better on the other side of whatever it is that afflicted them. One of the things that you constantly see in the Sunnah and the Seerah of the Prophet ﷺ is that he taught that mentally strong people, and the word mentally strong are words that, you know, you can translate as people who have sabr, who have isbiru wa sabiru. The last verse of Surah Ali Imran, the third chapter of the Quran, Allah says, O ye who believe, be courageous, be patient, be virtuous, wa sabiru, and maintain that and continue to live a life of virtue and maintaining that endeavor. The Prophet ﷺ frames that courageousness by saying and teaching, mentally strong people are the ones who are able to replace self-pity, sadness, with gratitude and shukr to Allah. So some of the most traumatic experiences that a human being can experience, the Prophet juxtaposes it and adds element of shukr to Allah in it, such as the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he reminds a couple who have lost a child. He said that those who have lost a child before their departure, that the angels are astounded by their behavior when they remain thankful to Allah and they say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah in all of our circumstances, ala kulli hal. And Allah asks the angels, what did these creation of mine, what did these beloved servants of mine say when I took the fruit of their union and their love? They said, Hamadaka ya Rabb. They turn to you in praising you, O Allah, not in lamenting, not in complaint about you or even to you, O Allah. Rather, they were thankful to you and showed gratitude for all that you have given, nonetheless, and even though this downturn has occurred to them. And then Allah orders the angels, فَابْنُوا لَهُمْ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَسَمُّوهُ بَيْتَ الْحَمْدِ. Label a house and a mansion in Jannah to be built and readied for them and give it the name, the abode of thankfulness to Allah. Another element that the Prophet ﷺ would teach, he would teach that mentally strong people are to hold on to their power and be able to forgive others who have wronged them. Now, what does that mean? SubhanAllah, we always speak about forgiveness, right? We always speak about being a person who is able, when you have strength, to be forgiving. The word Rahman and Rahma, that one of the greatest attributes of Allah, that when it's used on its own in the Quran, it's the only name of Allah that on its own is used. All the other names of Allah are used in combination, Al-Hayyul Qayyum. But Ar-Rahman, the ever-merciful, the Lord of mercy, the compassionate, the gracious, all these different words in English cannot sum up that word, Ar-Rahman. But in that word is this powerful, powerful statement, which is, it's described that Allah's mercy is unchanging because His power is so complete, He does not react to our misbehavior or our sinfulness. He remains merciful all throughout because his capacity to show mercy is not based on a reaction to his creation. And then Allah invites us to demonstrate rahmah. Ar-Rahimuna yarhamum rahman. Those who are capable, those who endeavor to show mercy, are those who the ever merciful will grant them his mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, it's like for you and I to try our best that when somebody has offended, somebody has wronged, that within our power to extract vengeance and show our strength at that moment, that we have the self-control and the graciousness to be able to look past the previous insult and build a brighter future to come. Such was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as he entered Mecca, a conqueror and a victor by the order and command of Allah, that he said, "Idhabu fa'innakum tulaq." Go, I emancipate you, seeking Allah. And finally, and there are many other moments in the seerah, that mentally strong people raised by the Prophet ﷺ upon the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ don't get distracted by the things that happen and are able to maintain their control and composure because they understand that ultimately, أَنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ وَالْقُدْرَةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا, that all power, all might, all authority belong to Allah. They ultimately understand that whatever power we have is fleeting, and it's not unto ourselves that we have it, but that it is what is given to us in a moment of time by Allah. And the one who gives is the one who is capable of removing. And that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is the source of our strength. So they've learned from that statement, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is no might, no power, no turning right or left, no ability to stand or sit. There's no strength or ableness except that which is bestowed by Allah. And as that settles within your soul, within your mind, and within the strength of your body, as taught to us by the Prophet ﷺ, you begin to understand that whatever externally happens and whatever feelings I have inside me, that my job is to seek harmony and peace with all that surrounds me, and so that I can be able to provide it for others. Having moments in the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, where you see him turned away from Mecca and he looks back and he said, had they not removed me, I would not have left. Seeing the Prophet ﷺ being one who is a refugee in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, protected by Allah and loved by his new people and soon to be nation, you see that this is the hallmark of mental strength and fortitude, and that it is only by building resilience and learning assertiveness and maintaining our composure and putting within us the tools of life that allow us to see through the tempest and the storm that is brewing, that is where we find our greatest ability to come closer to Allah in this life, to be nurturers of other people's happiness, which ultimately gives us happiness and balance in life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant success to all of those who are listening with us today, those who enter into the wonderful webinar that is being advertised. I don't know if you know, but the webinar is actually, it's a cost-free initiative. There's no upfront cost and it's pay as you feel. You know, the aim of it is to bring people together and to collect us together and have us build a spirit of generosity within each other. And we just want as many people as possible to join in, so that the more people that join in, the more we can do wonderful things. And we know that the generosity you will be providing is greater than whatever amount is going to be labeled. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow you to click on the enrollment button, inshallah, share it with your family and friends, and come together as communities. And if there's nothing that you benefit from it that doesn't require you to compensate and to give your thankfulness in that sense, khayran, wala ba's, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brighten your day as our fajr here is beginning in Perth, Western Australia. May as the sun be rising or setting wherever you are, may the light of Allah enter into your homes and hearts and into our families and our very well-being. And I leave you with the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahumma ij'al fi qalbi nura, wa fi basari nura, wa fi sam'i nura, wa 'an yamini nura, wa 'an yasari nura, wa min fawqi nura, wa min tahti nura. Allahumma 'azzim li nura ya arhamar rahimin. May Allah fill all of our life with light and His guidance of light. Allahumma ameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khair for this, Sheikh Yahya. Just before you go, I just wanted to ask, because I've noticed, mashallah, over the years, you've been a huge advocate for mental health. Search your name in mental health and like a million articles show up, mental health in Ramadan, mental health stigma, etc. Mental health in the Muslim community. Why do you think it's important for the few lucky ones who don't suffer from any mental illness for them to also educate themselves and to be part of this initiative? Because I know there's a lot of awareness coming up in the past few years, but there's still a long ways to go. So why is it important for those who don't struggle?
I think it's naive to actually think that they don't actually struggle with it. Sometimes people assume that they're not affected by it, but the reality is just the stress that some of our children have on a bad day of school. Mental health, we have to separate it from seeming as mental illness or that it's a permanent thing or it's a stigmatized thing. In all of the languages that I guess Muslims speak, there's that one word which is majnoon. You know, I'm not majnoon. I'm not, you know, I'm not crazy. Don't look at me like that, or don't say these kind of words to me, or, you know, you're making it out that I'm saying or doing the wrong thing. I'm able to make the right judgments and so on. And because there's a self-stigmatization, then there is also a stigmatization where we look out and we don't want to see it with people who are important to us. Sometimes, subhanAllah, some of the issues that are leading towards divorce need never have been there had a person actually just been assessed well and had a clinician who sat with them. And that, you know, they weren't just told, say, subhanAllah, subhanAllah, and you'll feel better, and the dhikr of Allah cures everything. You know, sometimes there's this naivete that we're not actually as vulnerable as we are. And of the greatest category of those who are most vulnerable are really our young children. We assume that the acting out of our children, they're just, a'udhu billah, why is this kid acting like a shaitan today? A'udhu billah, it's got to be the jinn, or, you know, read Ayatul Kursi and everything will be fine. But perhaps there's bullying in school. Perhaps there's a feeling of lessening self-worth. Perhaps it's the social media that they're consuming. You know, all of these kind of things are newer factors for some of our older generations where they just assume that it's just a way of life. What's wrong with y'all? You'll get better. Don't worry about it. Just sleep it off or walk it off or eat it off or whatever it may be. So, it, you know, our mental well-being affects ourselves, but affects everybody around us. And the well-being of others affects us, even if it's not first instance. So it could be that your children's teacher is suffering a moment of difficulty. So they become more difficult with your child in school. And because they're more difficult with their child in school, your child is finding it difficult to settle with their friends. The friends are finding it difficult. All of a sudden, your child is getting in trouble in school, getting in trouble at home, not fulfilling the obligations that you've set for them. And all of a sudden, you become stressed and it affects your work. And then and this concentric circle and ripple effect is real. And we need to look past what happened to why it's happening and to ask those questions. And I think that this webinar is a place for us to receive the tools for us to begin to think about our mental well-being. And I'm a strong, strong advocate for the destigmatization, for the legitimization, for the open discussions that relate to mental health issues. Alhamdulillah, here in Australia, we're blessed that we have, you know, wonderful academics, Muslim academics, who clinical psychologists who, you know, push really hard towards that. And they're the Center of Wellness and so on, that are wonderful initiatives taking place. And then now Al-Maghrib, mashallah, as an international entity, as a resource for those who are near and far, is beginning once again to take the initiative in this space and to bring something that is missing. It's a complete vacuum for us as a community. And I pray that this will be the start of a wonderful, wonderful, great experience for many people who are suffering in silence and don't know where to turn to, don't know how to begin to find help. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to find comfort in that. I just wanted to end by saying, my words should not ever give the assumption that we're underestimating the dhikr of Allah. That will always be a prescription, but part of the dhikr of Allah is taking the means to making the dhikr of Allah permeate and effective in our normal spheres of life. So the dhikr of Allah has the three stages of an internal connection to God, of reliance upon Him, an utterance, and then a demonstration that what I have said, I will bring into reality by demonstrating it and getting up and doing it. So the dhikr of Allah of, you know, saying Alhamdulillah requires that I don't just sit there, but I get up and show that I'm thankful for what I have been given. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. So let your mention of God and your praise of Him show and let it be declared wide with others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of us. Allahumma ameen.
As always, a huge pleasure to have you on with us. I feel like I wish we could bottle up your speech and take that, inshallah, as a source of relief as well. But JazakAllah Khair, it's been a pleasure to have you on, and may Allah continue to facilitate your community and your empowering of this message. Inshallah, we'll catch you soon, inshallah, online, all corners of the internet. We look forward to meeting up with you for now. Take care. Enjoy your Fajr time, and assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
All righty, and JazakAllah Khair. I hope that you guys, mashallah, so many more of you have joined us. I hope that you continue to please.